Welcome to Just a Minute! It's Stephen Fry here, and as the Minute Waltz fades away, it's a pleasure and a privilege to welcome you to this very special recording of Just a Minute. We're not in the radio theatre, but by the magic of the internet, for this recording, we can welcome an audience who are joining us from living rooms and bedrooms and cupboards under the stairs all over the country, perhaps all over the world. And I can see that a good number of you are pretending to be on a work call. We'll keep that fiction going. Let me also introduce the four dashing, dynamic and delightful people who are playing Just a Minute this week. They are Jenny Eclair, Sue Perkins, Desiree Birch and Paul Merton. Now, if you've heard the show before, you'll know that I'll be asking our contestants to speak on a subject that I give them for 60 seconds without hesitation, repetition or deviation. It's quite fiendishly simple. And we're going to turn first to Sue. And the subject on the card, it's a lovely one. It's a puffin. You have 60 seconds on a puffin, starting now.
A puffin is what I start doing when exercise is mentioned. Then comes the a huffin and a swearing. I can't be doing with it. A puffin, I imagine, when the phrase is mentioned, people call to mind the seabird. Love to nest in coastal areas, precariously on clifftops, en masse, with brightly coloured beaks. But for me, being a child of the 70s, a puffin is forever associated with the club that enabled you to get books sent every week. You felt like you were in some kind of secret society with a password and an answer that only fellow nerds would truly appreciate. And how I long for those simpler times today when kids could receive a work of great literature and enjoy it, feeling they were cherishing something of incredible importance. Now, of course, other things take pride of place. But when I was a wee one, how I would yearn.
Whoa! Well, I think our audience knows, and I can certainly tell those who are not aware, that Sue there, because she went from start to finish without interruption and cleared the whistle, she gets a very extra point for that.
Ah, thank you.
Well, with Sue currently in the lead, we're going to move now to Desiree and see what the cards have in store for you. Ah, this might be tricky to explain. I wonder if you're familiar. Ant and deck. Do you know those fine gentlemen? Tell us all you can, Desiree. Ant and deck, your time starts now.
These two performers are some of Britain's most beloved presenters, and considering that another two of them at least are on this show, that is saying quite a lot.
All right, sorry, Jenny interrupted you there. Jenny.
Double two.
There was a repetition too. Cruel but fair.
Rules is rules.
You'll get it back in a second, love.
That sounded like a threat, Jenny.
I'll probably buzz myself. You know how clumsy I am.
Okay. Well, you've got 49 seconds, Jenny, and they start now.
Ant and Dec started their career as actors on a kids' series called Biker Grove. They then became TV pop stars. PJ and Duncan, get the sets, get ready to rumble.
You've got an interruption there from Sue.
I thought it was a bit of hesitation on Skitzerzimbro.
Yeah.
There was.
Yeah. I forgot what the song was called. Let's get ready to rumble. That's what it was.
Sue, you have 36 seconds on Ant and Dec, starting now.
Ant and Dec defy the laws of nature. They must be 75 or even 80 years of age, and yet they look box fresh. While the rest of us wither, our jowls sag, our eyesight weakens and our hearing declines, Ant and Dec still look like burnished children, and boy, can they present. They are triple threats. Singing, dancing, gobbing off on the telly box. They are evergreen and beloved, quite rightly so, as Desiree said. I'd love just for one single second to feel the youth.
Wow. Sue Perkins is on fire. Another point for speaking as the whistle went.
I've not left the house in 6 months.
And you won't need me to tell you that Sue is out in the lead at the moment. However, who haven't we heard from yet? We haven't heard from Paul Merton. We'd like you to talk on forecasting the weather. Forecasting the weather in 60 seconds, please, starting now.
Traditionally, it's one of those subjects that the British people would like to moan about. I suppose because our weather is slightly inconstant. You can sometimes have snow followed by sunshine in the same day. And there is a belief that weather forecasters or meteorologists somehow don't know their job, which of course is a ludicrous idea, because why would you employ people who had no idea of how...
Yes, interruption there from Desiree.
Is that a repetition of idea?
Yes. Two ideas?
Yes.
Yep. Fine interruption, Desiree. You have 36 seconds now to speak on forecasting the weather, starting now.
Forecasting the weather is exactly the job that you want if you grow up and live in Southern California, because Monday, sunshine, Tuesday, gorgeous, Wednesday through Friday, smog, and Sunday, a little bit of rain and back to gloriousness. All of the weather people growing up were the most pleasant people in the world, and typically...
Interruption from Sue there.
Repetition of people.
Yes.
Well spotted. There was a repetition of people. And Sue, you got in there with 15 seconds to spare, starting now.
Weather forecasting is an inact... I don't know what that is. What was that word that just fell out of my mouth? It wasn't even a word, it was half a word.
Jenny got in first, Jenny.
Deviation from the English language and hesitation simultaneously, it's quite a feat.
I think we can agree. Contemptuous, but fair. Right, OK, so you now have 11 seconds, Jenny, starting now.
There are two ways I like to forecast the weather. The first involves lying under the duvet and checking the app on my smartphone. Second, I rise from my duvet.
It was such a late challenge there that I'm going to let that go and give Jenny the point for speaking as the whistle went, which ends our first round. Everyone started with the subject. Sue is in the lead with Jenny hot on her tail.
You said you wouldn't mention the tail, Stephen.
Yes, I mentioned the tail. She's hot on it. Jenny, if you can remove yourself from Sue's tail, we'll start with you. The subject on the card is the Tower of Babel. Can you speak for 60 seconds without hesitation, repetition or deviation on the Tower of Babel? Your time starts now.
The Tower of Babel? The Tower of Babel? You expect me to talk for 60 seconds about the Tower of Babel? I'm not even educated. This game has gone horribly wrong. I shouldn't be sitting here talking about the Tower of Babel. Stephen Fry is the only person I know that would know anything about this subject. I know it's not real, it's fictional.
Paul got in first.
Well, there was a repetition of no.
Oh.
The only person that would know about this and anything I know.
Spot on.
Yes, you're right. You're right, Paul.
But, you know, if that feels unfair, I'm quite happy for Jenny to keep the subject.
It's like torture.
I think you'd be doing her a kindness if you took up the subject yourself, Paul.
Yes.
The Tower of Babel, 38 seconds, starting now.
Well, when Jenny says she knows nothing about the Tower of Babel, that is a position that I can find myself closely identifying. The Tower of Babel. There was once a man called Babel who said to his wife, "Do you know what? I'm fed up of being a jazz pianist. I want to become an architect. I want to create a tower. A tower that will be a Tower of Babel, named after me."
Yes. Interruption from Sue there.
Repetition of "I want" in close proximity. I want this and I want this.
Yes, absolutely.
There were two. Well spotted, Sue. Sue, you have 19 seconds on the Tower of Babel, starting now.
As Jenny and Paul have said so eloquently, the Tower of Babel features in the...
Yo, interruption from Paul there.
Repetition. Myself and Jenny have already said it. She's stealing our material.
This is one of these Urabos snakes that is eating its own tail. This is very confusing. You're technically right. I'm going to give you a point for your sophistry, but I'm going to keep the subject with Sue.
Absolutely.
Sue, you now have 14 seconds starting now.
God put loads of people on a tower, and to confound them, he decided they should all speak different languages. Arabic, Farsi, Hindi, French, Dutch, English, Mandarin, Cantonese, Hungarian.
Sue, listing languages there, manages to get over the line, and indeed it's her subject now. Sue, this is the subject those of us in lockdown will all have feelings about. Cutting your own hair. Can you speak without hesitation on this subject? 60 seconds to speak on the subject of cutting your own hair, starting now.
During lockdown, my hair has started to resemble a combination of a 1970s serial killer and Cousin It from the Addams Family. There is, however, a remedy for this. Go on to any online retailer and find three items. A pair of thinning scissors, something...
Oh, interruption there from Paul.
So I may have this wrong. Cousin It in the Addams Family, wasn't he a hand?
I thought he was the hairy one. Wasn't Thing the hand?
Yeah, I think that was Thing.
Oh, was yes, Thing. You're right. The hand was called the Thing. You're quite right. I'm awfully sorry.
Very good, Sue. You defended your corner well.
Absolutely.
It was an interesting interruption, but an incorrect one. You get the point and keep the subject with 43 seconds to go, starting now.
Dog clippers are excellent in this event. Simply shave either side and end up looking like Travis Bickle, which can end...
And who interrupted there? It was Jenny who got in first.
Hesitation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was because you'd repeated end, wasn't it?
And
you'd
yes. And I sort of had a sort of deep colonic spasm as a result.
Good heavens. Well, just as well, Jenny, that you weren't on her tail then. Jenny, yes, a successful challenge and 34 seconds. Cutting your own hair, starting now.
Cutting your own hair is great. Get a kit off the internet, sit yourself down, offer yourself a cup of tea.
Oh, interruption there from Paul got in first. Yes, Paul.
Yes, a repetition of yourself.
Yeah.
Very well spotted. Quite right, of course. Impressive work. That gives you 26 seconds on the subject of cutting your own hair, Paul, starting now.
My mother tried cutting my own hair, which is the closest I ever came to domestic hairdressing, and it was an absolute disaster. I had this huge bald patch at the back of my head that resembled a tonsure, as if I were some kind of monk from a monastery. If I was to attempt to cut my own hair, I suppose there would be several things I would need. A mirror? Certainly. A pair of scissors? Absolutely. Or would I go simply for a large carving knife and shave off huge chunks of it and think to myself...
Well, the other three were rather merciful there, weren't they, Paul?
They were absolutely merciful.
You got over the line there splendidly.
There were some new words I invented in that one.
Shave.
Shave.
Well, now, Desiree, you have the subject, and
okay.
I wonder how you'll do on this. I'd be very interested to hear, because it is how to do a British accent. Tell us all you can on that subject. You have 60 seconds, starting now.
There are nothing but landmines for an American trying to discuss how to do a British accent. However, I find that being drunk often helps, particularly with the Scottish one. I was able to pull it off in Edinburgh a couple of times rather nicely. There are so many various ways of speaking on this sovereign isle that it is difficult for people from my country to pin down exactly how you would pronounce certain words from certain regions.
Sue got in.
Yeah.
Your challenge is?
Repetition.
Repetition of
certain words, certain regions.
Yep. And Sue got in first with 29 seconds to go. How to do a British accent, starting now.
Like this, Desiree.
Paul, you challenged.
Well, there was a hesitation there, so...
Yes, you just stopped.
Stopped, yeah.
It earns you a point. Well, it's a long shot, but let's see if Paul knows how to do a British accent. He's got 28 seconds, starting now.
I suppose one of the key things is you've got to think of a region that you want to do the British accent from and think to yourself, well, I wonder what people from the...
Yeah. Interruption from Jenny there.
I thought it was deviation from Welsh. I thought he was attempting a Welsh accent. I thought he was...
Welsh?
Yes!
Well, so I thought it was deviation. I thought, oh, he's doing a bad Welsh accent and the Welsh won't like it. I better stop him. Deviation.
Well, if I was doing a Welsh accent, how would that be deviation from how to do a British accent?
Oh, he's got me.
It's true, no?
Yeah. Well... It was an incorrect challenge, I'm afraid, Jenny, and that leaves Paul still with the subject and 19 seconds starting now.
God blimey, Mary Poppins! How do you manage to do all that magic? The British people have been very fond of Dick Van Dyke's accent.
And an interruption there from Sue, yes.
Repetition of people.
You are correct. Well spotted. That's a subtle and a naughty one. Yeah. Sue, you've arrived with a dozen seconds to go, beginning now.
It's hard, as Paul says, to do a British accent, because such a thing doesn't really exist. We're composed of lots of different regions, subtleties, diphthongs, weird kinks and dinks that put people at odds with one another. For example, I must sound ludicrous to everybody.
Once again, Sue, who's speaking as the whistle goes, and she earns an extra point. This goes to Paul, and the subject is Great Danes. Do you know any? Perhaps you have one. Who knows? Please tell us all you know about them without hesitating, repeating or deviating. Your time starts now.
Get down. Great Danes are an unusual dog because they've got great big heads and they don't realise how massive they are. They're quite scared and frightened of tiny little things. I remember visiting a man's house once and he had a Great Dane, and this particular animal must have stood at about 5'6", something like that. It weighed probably somewhere around the... I don't know. And it came up to me and it... Well, there's an anecdote you'll never hear the end of. It's your loss.
It's our loss, but Jenny, you did challenge.
Hesitation.
There was a hesitation, it has to be said. That gives you 38 seconds on Great Danes, Jenny, starting now.
The only ones I can think of are Kierkegaard, Ibsen and Sandy Toksvig, who isn't even the size of a Great Dane. However, she is a marvellous comedian and neighbour, wrote a wonderful autobiography named Between the Stops, based on the number 12 bus route. She's wonderful. I can't think of another Great Dane. I don't know anything about the dogs. I'm quite scared of large animals in case they jump up and ravage me, which is one of the things that often happens to a beautiful woman at bus stops, so I have to be very careful in case I do get...
Desiree did buzz on the whistle, but I think you were just over the line there, despite claiming that Ibsen was Danish, which would shock a few Swedes, a few Norwegians. Right, well, at the end of that round, Sue is still in the lead, but the others are only a whisker behind. We're with you again, Jenny, and the subject is tongue twisters. Can you speak for 60 seconds without hesitation, repetition or deviation on tongue twisters? Starting now.
When I was at drama school, we had these speech classes and they gave us tongue twisters so that when we eventually got on stage and tackled a long, difficult speech, such as a Shakespeare, we would not trip over the words. It's very difficult to demonstrate tongue twisters on just a minute, but I'm going to give it a damn good try. Red lorry, yellow truck. Do you see what I did? Peter Piper picked a peck of pickled pepper. Can't give you the second line. Not without trevening the rules of just a minute.
Oh, interruption from Paul.
What was that word? Not without what in the rules?
Trevening.
Trevening.
Trevening. Yeah.
Was that an example of a tongue twister?
Stephen, does the word trevening exist? You're correct, Paul. I deviated from the English language with a word that I made up on the spot called trevening.
Well, thank you for making the decision for me, Jenny. That's very kind of you, and you are, of course, correct. It was a fault. And it gives Paul 23 seconds on the subject of tongue twisters, starting now.
23 seconds is hardly enough time to devote to the subject of tongue twisters, but I shall endeavour to give you the full extent of my knowledge on that particular subject. Tongue twisters were invented by two people, George Twisters and Bob Tongue. And they got together in Milton Keynes in 1978 and said to each other, why don't we set up a business, a bit like Rolls and Royce? We shall call ourselves Tongue Twisters to the Gentry. We can write down special messages and send them to the Duke of Cumberland. He said, why would we do that? Ah, because it's those sort of people will be looking for after dinner repartee. They will say to one another, do you...
Hey. Paul Merton there speaking as the whistle went. He gets a point. And we're now moving on to Sue. Your subject is The Hobbit. Can you speak without hesitation, etc., on The Hobbit? Time starts now.
The Hobbit is a book by Mr. Tolkien, whose initials aren't entirely appropriate for this game. Based on a short creature with hairy feet, who goes on an epic adventure with 13 dwarves. And having mounted a production of The Hobbit myself, I hope I can name Thorin, Filly, Killy, Balin, Dwaylin, Owen, Glowin, Ori Nori Dori, Bifer, Bofer, Ansari and McKellen, who just trots along for the ride and looks swell. They encounter a whole host of mythical creatures, none more memorable than the cave-dwelling Gollum, who obsesses about a piece of jewellery that he cannot let go of. My precious, with extended sibilance. And he needs it because in that ring holds the secret to eternity. I was in a show based on that particular narrative. I played one of the aforementioned people.
Wow. Sue Perkins displaying an extraordinary mastery both of Hobbits and of the game of Just a Minute. A magnificent achievement, speaking all the way through on the subject. And that extra point, of course, goes to you. As we turn to Paul. Paul, your subject is Beef Wellington. 60 seconds. Your time starts now.
Beef Wellington is one of those curious dishes that's not very nice to eat. I would compare it to pork moccasins.
I thought he tried that. I thought he just stopped. He was making a good joke, and I think he should continue.
It was a fine joke for which he gets a point, but you also are correct, so you get the subject, and you've got 57 seconds, apparently. So off you go.
Beef Wellington was the half-brother of the Duke of Wellington. He was an incredible rugby player, looked great in a striped shirt. He was called Beef Wellington because he was a steak-like looking man. It is a poor
ass. We've got a challenge from Paul.
Well, I hesitate to say this, but that's a load of rubbish.
Yeah, yeah.
He was a steak kind of man. What, rare?
Look like a steak. Some men look like steaks. Some men are more meat-looking than others.
What do you mean some men look like steaks? What, rump steak? Prime steak?
You know, that slightly purplish-red hue.
Oh, no, she's... Now I come to think of it, she's right. She's right. There are some men who look like steaks.
Yeah.
I know a woman that looks like an aubergine. Even her best friends won't tell her.
I'm not sure that your challenge is quite correct, really. I think we're back still with Jenny, who has
absolutely
39 seconds, starting now.
Beef Wellington is a dish one might see on a pub menu. Not that easy to make at home, even with just roll pastry. It should be served crusty on the outside, tender on the middle, like my good self, on a plate surrounded by fabulous vegetables, maybe a drop of gravy.
Sue got in first. Sue, your challenge.
Deviation from English, of the Swamini.
Absolutely. And so you have 17 seconds on Beef Wellington, starting now.
Paul is absolutely right, of course. Beef has no place in an outdoor shoe. It's simply not waterproof enough, even with a great cut like a skirt or a strip steak. No good for repelling moisture in the air. Instead, I would recommend something like veal, much tighter in texture.
There is no getting anything away from Sue. You're like a football player with words. This is amazing.
You're right, Desiree. And if you can overtake her on this, which is now the final round, that would be breaking a record. And happily, that is your subject. Breaking records is the subject on the card. You've got 60 seconds. Your time starts now.
So my affiliation with Breaking Records was having my first show, Big Break, be on something called Officially Amazing, which is a children's presentation where records are broken for the Guinness Book. And several were performed on that show. We filmed it in Scotland and the kids enjoyed it mightily, and they came in, had juice, watched people do things that they would never think to do, because in order to break any kind of a standing document of having done a thing.
Paul interrupted. I know what you were doing. You could have said.
I can't think of another thing of record. What's another word?
The tragedy is, Desiree, is you could have said records because you are allowed to repeat the word that's on the card.
Oh, okay.
So you were grouping to say records in a different way. But nonetheless, I'm afraid I have to abide by the rules and give the point to Paul, who was the first to interrupt.
Hesitation, that. Yes.
So, Paul, you have 24 seconds, starting now.
The Comedy Store Players, which is an improv group that I belong to in London, are in the Guinness Book of Records for being the longest-running collection of people performing improvised laughter in front of an audience. And this is a great honour to all of us. We appeared in one volume, which I think was published probably about 10, 15 years ago now, and each one of us got a little plaque, which we had framed and put on our individual walls. I'm very pleased to give them this bit of advertising.
Well done, Paul. So you get the point for speaking as the whistle went. And at the end of the game, they all played brilliantly. But as the final whistle blew, this is how things stood. Fourth place, Desiree on 4. Third place, Jenny with 8. Second place, Paul with 10. Which means we can say very safely that our winner this week is Sue with a massive 16 points. Well played, Sue. Absolute masterclass. But congratulations to everybody. And I'm afraid that really is that. It remains for me to thank the team today. Firstly, our beautiful panel, of course, Jenny Eclair, Sue Perkins, Desiree Birch and Paul Merton. But we also thank the great Ian Messiter, who devised this fabulous game. Caroline Barlow, who blew her whistle so firmly, and our producer, Victoria Lloyd, who makes the show for BBC Studios. This is Stephen Fry saying thanks for listening and do join us again next time we play Just a Minute. Goodbye. Thank you.